Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the show that explores the background of Tolkien's amazing world from the very beginning. In today's episode, we are picking up where we left off with the city of Gondolin. And when you think of the city of Gondolin, you need to think about Turgon, or Turgon, if I'm going to pronounce it correctly. But when you think about Turgon, we're reminded of someone who is desperately fighting against fate, or the doom of Mandos. You have to remember, Turgon was Fingolfin's son. Turgon is not one of the children of Feanor. And yet he is still caught up in all of the terribleness that Feanor's decisions brought. Now we have to think back to some of the other events that happened. Before the founding of Gondolin, Turgon lived in a different place, Nevrast, along the shore. And during that time there, he desperately tried to stop all of the terribleness that was happening here in Middle-earth by sending 7 ships to the west to cross the sea and attempt to find their way back to Valinor. But this didn't work. We're told that none of the ships returned. The Valar were closed off. And then we get to the events of the founding of Gondolin, the hiding of another elven city, and at this point in the story, we have seen the downfall of Nargothrond and of Doriath. Gondolin is all that remains. And the story today picks up on chapter 23 of the Silmarillion, and we're going to learn about Tuor. And we'll get into that in a little bit, but I want to echo a number, what feels like a magical number that came up already. 7 ships. Tuor will see 7 birds. The number 7 will show up a number of different times in this story. And so that raises the question, why? Why 7? What is the meaning behind that number to Tolkien? And the simple answer is that we don't officially know. There's usually symbolism in these kinds of things, especially when a number or a picture or an image or something like that shows up multiple times. It's usually not because it's coincidental. It was done for a reason. And so we have to go into our knowledge about our world and how the number 7 has been used in our writings, because we know that Tolkien was drawing from classical writings and myths. In the Hebrew Bible, we have the 7 days of creation. In the ancient world, the Greeks wrote about these 7 wonders of the world. Rome had 7 hills. And across other biblical works, the Christian New Testament lists a bunch of 7s in the book of Revelation. 7 churches, 7 angels, 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 stars. The Quran mentions 7 heavens. In Hinduism, there are 7 higher worlds and 7 underworlds. In Buddhism, the newborn Buddha rises and takes 7 steps. There are other coincidences too, or maybe the numbers and the choosing of these numbers were because we were informed by the number 7 already in our culture. 7 oceans. Why did we divide it up into 7 oceans? Those boundaries are not hard and fast. We just chose 7. 7 continents, even though, what, Europe and Asia and Africa are all linked together. We divide that into 3. The rainbow has 7 listed colors. Again, this could be arbitrary, but we divide it into 7. A standard musical scale has 7 notes. All of this is very interesting, right? So what does that mean? 7, historically, has been the number of completeness. It represents a finality, a complete set. If something's 6, it's incomplete. The number of the devil is 666. It is incomplete. And the number 7 also, because of this completeness, is often represented in ways that coincide with heaven, or God, or perfection. These kinds of things. So in this chapter today, we will be beginning the story of the downfall of Gondolin. And maybe that's spoilers, but I have a feeling you knew that was coming. And the number 7 is going to play a key role here. And like a number of the other stories that we've already gone through, so is a child of mankind, Tuor, who will be finding his way among the elves, thanks to the actions of one of the Valar. Chapter 23 of the Silmarillion is called Of Tuor and the Fall of Gondolin. So, yeah, it's a little spoilery right there in the title, right? So we have a sense that this is where this is going. And to begin this, we are reminded of some of the lineage of the characters that we have been more familiar with lately. It starts off and says, it has been told that Huor, the brother of Hurin, was slain in the Battle of Unnumbered Tears. And in the winter of that year, Rian, his wife, bore a child to the wilds of Mithrim, and he was named Tuor. Tuor never knew his father, never knew Hurin, and is the cousin of Turin. A very interesting family. Now, it goes on and says that he was taken to foster by Aniel, or Enail, probably Enail, of the Grey Elves, who lived in those hills. And this goes on for about 16 years. When Tuor is 16 years old, the elves needed to leave the area that they were dwelling in, the caves of Androth, and they made their way secretly to the havens of Sirion in the distant south. And during the 16 years, we have the events of a lot of the things that we've been talking about in the last few chapters are taking place during Tuor's childhood. Now, during this time, they were attacked by orcs and Easterlings. Remember, the Easterlings were given the land of Hithlum for themselves. They were in cahoots. That's a fun word. Cahoots with the orcs of Morgoth. And they couldn't escape. And Tuor, along with them, was taken captive. And he was enslaved by an individual named Lorgan. Lorgan was the chief of the Easterlings of Hithlum, the leader of this group. And he suffered for 3 years in slavery. The text says thraldom. And at the end of that, he manages to escape. So where does he go? He returns to the caves of Androth, but he finds nobody. The elves that he had been raised by are no longer there. Now, let me pause real quick here before we get into further details on the story. if you've noticed some of the way that the writing has worked over the last few episodes, I guess we can say, you can see that some of the text becomes more and more vague. And I have a feeling this is because Christopher Tolkien was pulling together his father's writings. And stories like Beren and Lúthien have very specific details, especially in very important portions of those stories, actual conversations. You get this very zoomed in view of what's going on. But some of these stories, like this one, are a little bit more zoomed out. They sound and feel like reading something like Beowulf or one of those old myths that go into these just broad brush strokes about what happened without going into too much detail. So the next detail here is when he was leaving, when he escaped his slavery from Lorgan, we know that he did such great hurt to the Easterlings that Lorgan set a price upon his head. We're not given specifics. We don't know if he killed some of them in order to escape, if he hurt Lorgan himself. We don't know. We just know that there is a bounty and that they want him back. And we've seen writing like this before. Túrin does some of these kinds of things where he does something bad and then everybody gets upset and then he runs away, right? These kinds of things happen. And this is no different in this scenario. And then we get another jump ahead. Túr spends the next 4 years of his life, so that's to about the age of 20, by himself, in solitude, as an outlaw, running from the law. It's not really the law, it's Lorgan's law, right? But what this means is that in this time, he doesn't find anyone else to live with. He's been on his own. The mannish people, the humans who are around, are run by these Easterlings. He can't go back to Hithlum. His elven friends aren't there. They've all been enslaved or killed or something. He doesn't know. And so he's off on his own, surviving in the wild. Similar in ways to other human characters that we know become very important later in their stories. Beren spent some time in the wild. Túrin spent a lot of time in the wild during different parts of his life. But then we're told something very, very important, which changes everything. Ulmo, the Lord of the Seas, set it in his heart to depart from the land of his fathers, for he had chosen Túr as the instrument of his designs. And leaving once more the caves of Androth, he went westwards across Dor Lomond and found Annon in Gaelith, the gate of the Noldor, which the people of Turgon built when they dwelt in Nevrast long years before. So this is going to be one of the first times that this kind of thing happens in the text. He's not anywhere near the sea, and yet somehow Ulmo puts his power over him, sets in his heart to depart from the lands of his fathers. This is the first time this happens, and this is going to happen again in similar fashion, but different. Also, we now know that he has traveled south and west to the coast, to the land of Nevrast, where Túrgon and those elves previously had lived. And he travels through this tunnel that they had carved out upon leaving during the construction of Gondolin, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's when that was. And travels through this tunnel, and it explains it like this. Here, check this out. Thence a dark tunnel led beneath the mountains and issued into Cirith Niniash, the rainbow cleft through which a turbulent water ran towards the western sea. Water running through rivers, Ulmo's domain. Thus it was that Túr's flight from Hithlum was marked by neither man nor orc, and no knowledge of it came to the ears of Morgoth. Nobody knows where Túr has gone. It's as if he has disappeared. The son of Húr, the nephew of Húrin, the cousin of Túrin, has disappeared and is gone, and is now a young man who has learned to survive on his own in the wild. If Morgoth knows anything, he knows that this family is a problem for him. So he's very interested in where Tuor may have made his way off to. And so Tuor makes his way to Nevrest, and for the first time in his life, he sees the Great Sea. And we're told that he was enamored of it. That longing that was put in his heart by Olmo is heightened. The sound of the water, the look of it, the way it plays on his heart and in his ear. And we're told an unquiet was on him that took him at last into the depths of the realms of Olmo. He probably spent time jumping through the waves, swimming in the water. And then we're told that he is alone again, because nobody's here. He dwells in Nevrest alone. And the summer of that year passed, and the doom of Nargothrond drew near. So now we have a sense of exactly when this was. But when the autumn came, he saw seven great swans flying south. And he knew them for a sign that he had tarried over long, and he followed their flight along the shores of the sea. Again, that number seven. Thus he came at length to the deserted halls of Vinyamar beneath Mount Terrace, and he entered in. These are Turgon's old halls. And there he found the shield and hauberk and the sword and the helm that Turgon had left there by the command of Olmo long before. Olmo was behind the moving of this group to Gondolin. Olmo had told Turgon to leave these behind and look for the bearer who brings these back to him. And here in this moment, Tuor has followed Olmo's directions, not even knowing it necessarily, just this longing in his heart, and has come across this array of elven-designed weapons and armor. And he puts it on. He arrayed himself in those arms and went down to the shore. But there came a great storm out of the west, specifically out of the west. And out of that storm, Ulmo, the Lord of Waters, arose in majesty and spoke to Tuor as he stood beside the sea. And Ulmo bade him depart from that place and seek out the hidden kingdom of Gondolin. And he gave Tuor a great cloak to mantle him in shadow from the eyes of his enemies. Can you imagine the situation? Tuor has been alone for years, seeking where he should go, what to do with himself. And he stumbles upon this emptied elven city. And in that city, a set of armor and weapons that fit him specifically. He can just put them on and wear them. And this longing in his heart for the ocean, and upon doing this, walks out to the water, and emerging from the sea is one of the most powerful beings in the world, who speaks to him directly and says, "Go to Gondolin. You have something you need to do." And then gives him a cloak that will keep him in shadow from the eyes of his enemies. But this isn't the only thing that happens in this moment. After the storm passes, Tuor is gathering up his stuff, and he comes across an elf. The first elf that he has seen in years. The first anyone he has seen in years. And this elf is not just any elf. They are the sole survivor of those seven ships that were sent into the west. Ulmo himself had saved him. Veronwe, son of Aronwe of Gondolin, who sailed in the last ship that Turgon sent into the west, was picked up by Olmo and saved and brought to this shore at this moment to meet Tuor. All right, here we are in the middle of the show, and we get to thank our patrons, including our newest patrons. This includes JD2 Scott, Chad R., Michael Y., and Mark T. Welcome to the Patreon. So glad to have you here joining us, and got to shout out our VIP peer patron. Words are hard, guys. VIP tier patrons. Gosh. AK Music Lover, Austin C., Bo, Brad S., Brandy D., Chewbacca, Christopher D., David S., David M., Drupal, Esoteric Rage, Jesse P., Katie S., Capenna, Larry, Lauren C., Nick K., Obi-Wan Kenobi, Patrick W., Sam B., Shannon L., T-Rex, Tyler M., and Wes P. Thank you to all of you for your support, and to all 199. Oh my goodness, 199. One more and we hit 200. Who's our 200th patron going to be? And thank you for all your support. If you are interested in helping to support the show and to keep what I'm doing going, and also to get some really cool stuff, including t-shirts now. If you're a VIP patron, you get t-shirts. If you are the second tier, you get the bonus episodes. And if you're the first tier, you get ad-free episodes early. So something for everybody. Patreon.com/LOTRLoreCast is the place to go for all of that. Thank you very much to all of you. We have some new reviews that came in this last week. Not as many as over the 2 weeks that I took off, but here we go. Let's see. We've got, let's start with OJS122 from Great Britain writes, "Converted Family. I've always been an LOTR fan, but after watching the new Rings of Power series, I realized there was so much I did not understand. Fortunately, I found this excellent podcast. Initially, it just kept me entertained during my commutes, but I also started listening during family road trips, and although my wife and kids did not initially appreciate the change in the car entertainment, they are now fully converted fans and eagerly await new episodes, especially my wife, Laura." I have a wife, Laura, too. I hope that's not the same person. That would be weird. Lily is a big elf fan. I think she wants to be one. Lucas likes the men, especially Turin. And my youngest, Leo, is the number one Melkor fan. A bit worrying, maybe? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, probably. Keep up the good work, lad. Thank you, OJ, and good luck with Leo. I appreciate the support. Then we have one from BudgieBoy10. In the US, who writes, "An inspirational work. I found your podcast on Spotify and am currently making my way through the Baron and Luthien shows. The addiction is real. One can hear the excitement and passion you have for Tolkien's work, and it is very contagious. Trying to read the Silmarillion has usually felt like looking upon the walls of Angband for me, large and impossible. However, your podcast has given hope to men. With the newfound knowledge you have shared, I'm going to give it another try and hopefully this time accomplish the task. You're an inspiration to all Tolkien fans. Thanks for all you do." Well, thank you, Budgie Boy, for the kind words and for taking the time to leave that. That's awesome. And then one more from Charlie Goho in Canada. This one's pretty short and sweet. "Wonderful. Love this podcast. Been listening to it for a while now and have recommended it to many of my friends." Well, thank you so much. All of that is extremely helpful. And thank you to everyone who takes the time to leave a review or to rate this on Spotify. That helps as well. Or to leave some kind comments about what you liked about the last episode. All of that stuff is extremely helpful. And I'm very, very grateful for all of your support, because I couldn't do this. I couldn't make this a thing without you. So thank you very much. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show. So up to this point, it feels like everything has been organized and set in motion by Olmo himself, to the point where he even shows up physically and delivers the last surviving elf from the ocean, from those seven ships. And the two of them together, they meet, and they can see that they have something they need to do, because, I mean, if one of the most powerful beings in the planet just emerged out of the ocean and told you to go somewhere, you'd probably do it, right? So the reason why Veronwë is so important here is because Veronwë knows the way to Gondolin. It says here, "And learning of the command laid upon Tuor by the Lord of Waters, Veronwë was filled with wonder and did not refuse him his guidance to the hidden door of Gondolin. Therefore, they set out together from that place, and as the fell winter of that year came down upon them out of the north, they went warily eastward under the eaves of the mountains of shadow." And this is interesting. At length, they came in their journeys to the pools of Ivrin. Remember this? The pools of Ivrin? And looked with grief on the defilement wrought there by the passage of Glaurung the dragon. But even as they gazed upon it, they saw one going northward in haste. And he was a tall man, clad in black, and wearing a black sword. But they knew not who he was, nor anything of what had befallen in the south, and he passed them by and said no word. They almost ran into Turin, but Turin was too busy hurrying back to Hithlum to look for his mother and his sister. What an interesting coincidence. So they continue traveling, and then we're told, and at the last, by the power that Ulmo set upon them, they came to the hidden door of Gondolin. This is another one of those moments, this idea that he is somehow orchestrating this and sending his will to them from a distance. Same kind of thing here. And passing down the tunnel, they reached the inner gate. Remember how complex this was with multiple gates and all of that? And were taken by the guard as prisoners, because nobody's supposed to be coming and going. And especially in this situation, an elf and a man coming through the gate like this would be very unexpected. Then they were led up the mighty ravine of Orfalch Ekor, barred by seven gates and brought before Ecthelion of the Fountain. Remember this name, Ecthelion of the Fountain. You may have heard that name before in later ages of the world where other people were named Ecthelion also. There's a reason for that. The warden of the great gate at the end of the climbing road, and their tour cast aside his cloak, and from the arms that he bore from Vinyamar, it was seen that he was in truth one sent by Ulmo, because they'd been looking for somebody to show up with all of that equipment that was left. Then Tuor looked down upon the fair vale of Tomb-laden, set as a green jewel amid the encircling hills, and he saw far off upon the rocky height of Amon Gwarith, Gondolin the Great, city of seven names, whose fame and glory is mightiest in song of all dwellings of the elves in the Hitherlands. City of seven names, seven again shows up. And we're given a wonderful visual image here. Ecthelion has the trumpets sound, and the trumpets respond from the city walls, and the white walls are rose-colored because of the dawn, the light of the dawn reflecting off the white walls. And Tuor is given entrance into the city. And this is a very important moment, and we're reminded again of his lineage. It says here, thus it was that the son of Hur rode across Tomb-laden and came to the gate of Gondolin and passed up the wide stairways of the city. He was brought at last to the Tower of the King and looked upon the images of the trees of Valinor. Tuor, who has been homeless, has had a terrible life up until this point, is brought like an honored guest before Turgon. And not only Turgon is there, he has a number of other people there with him. Turgon, son of Fingolfin, were again reminded of the lineage, High King of the Noldor, and upon the king's right hand there stood Maeglin, his sister's son. Remember Maeglin? Maeglin is going to have a part to play in this, and unfortunately it's not going to be a good one. But you can see that he is standing on the right side of the king, which is a place of honor. Upon his left hand sat Idril, Celebrimbor, his daughter, and all that heard the voice of Tuor marveled, doubting that this were in truth a man of mortal race, for his words were the words of the Lord of Waters. Again, it's like Ulmo is speaking through him, is still in some sense, his will is radiating out of him. That came to him in that hour, and he gave warning to Turgon that the curse of Mandos now hastened to its fulfillment, when all the works of the Noldor should perish, and he bade him depart and abandon the fair and mighty city that he had built, and go down Sirion to the sea. You can see here that the story ends there, or at least this, not this story, but the instructions from Ulmo: get to the sea. It seems that Ulmo's plan has other steps prepared. And if we've seen anything, it's that Ulmo has been preparing this. Ulmo brought Tor to Turgon's old city, to the ocean. Ulmo also brought an elf who could take him to Gondolin. All of these are pieces of a puzzle coming together and being orchestrated by one of the most powerful Valar. And the next step is, Turgon, take your people and leave. Get to the ocean. And then we're told this. Then Turgon pondered long the counsel of Ulmo, and there came into his mind the words that were spoken to him in Vanyamar. Quote, love not too well the work of thy hands and the devices of thy heart, and remember that the true hope of the Noldor lieth in the west and cometh from the sea. But Turgon was become proud, and Gondolin as beautiful as a memory of Elven Tirion, and he trusted still in its secret and impregnable strength, though even a Vala should gainsay it. And after the Narniath Arnoiad, the people of that city desired never again to mingle in the woes of elves and men without, nor to return their dread and danger into the west. This moment, the Turgon had been prophesied by Ulmo himself that it would occur, is still not enough to make up his mind for him. He's come to love the work of his hands and the devices of his heart, and to fear the enemy and what would happen to him or his people should they leave. And so Turgon decides to stay, and this will have dire ramifications for Gondolin.
Thanks for listening to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. If you'd like to learn more about other fantasy worlds, check out my other podcasts, The Elder Scrolls Lorecast, The Witcher Lorecast, and more at robotsradio.net. If you'd like to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a note on Twitter at robots_radio, or join our amazing community on the Robots Radio Discord. There are links in the show notes, or just search Robots Radio Discord, or find the link on robotsradio.net. I'll see you next time.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.